Let's pray as we do that. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks again that you do supply everything we need. We thank you for your word that is life to us, to our spirit, to our soul. And this morning as we look, as we continue in Genesis, as we look at your word, we ask that you would once again just build us up in our faith, teach us things about you, teach us things about ourselves, and speak to our heart at our point of need. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is so powerful and is so near to us that he can lead us and speak very personally to each one of us. And that's what we ask this morning for each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed that we love our stories to have a hero? Someone like Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman. You have to be gender inclusive. And it seems to be something in human nature that wants to cheer for someone who always displays courage and self-sacrifice. And we love characters that overcome adversity and they destroy evil. We love those heroes in the movies who never give in to temptation. They never compromise their ethics. They're always persevering and they always win in the end. We love a hero like that. Someone that's strong, someone that has no faults, no weaknesses. But have you ever noticed that there is no Superman in the book of Genesis? Some people like Abraham have moments of great faith, but even Abraham had moments of weakness. Like when he tells Pharaoh that his wife Sarah is his sister because he wants to save his own skin. That's not very heroic. In fact, Genesis tells the story of several flawed characters, people who have good days and bad days, just like us. In fact, when we read the book of Genesis, the number of mixed up families we meet is kind of shocking. For example, Cain is jealous of his brother Abel and he kills him. Noah, who is the most righteous man of his generation, gets drunk and curses his son. Isaac plays favorites between his sons, Jacob and Esau, and they become bitter enemies for 20 years. And then Jacob plays favorites between his son Joseph and his other 11 sons. And his brothers then sell Joseph as a slave to travelers from another country. And the marriages in the book of Genesis are filled with problems too. Abraham has a child with his wife's servant, and then he sends her and her son away into the desert. Isaac and Rebekah fight over which of their sons is going to get the blessing or the inheritance. And Jacob marries two wives and gets into a baby-making contest with both wives and their maids. These are the kind of people you can see in Dr. Phil, right? Messed up, mixed up people. When reading the Bible, we might wonder why the writer includes so much graphic detail about the sins and failures and real-life struggles of these people. Why is all this shocking material here in the Bible? Well, to start with, it's important that we understand that the writer is not suggesting in any way that God condones sin. Instead, what's happening is that the stories are being told honestly, showing us that people make mistakes, all people, and that the Bible characters are just as human as we are. You know, we're used to watching movies. We're used to stories where there's a good guy and there's a bad guy. And usually in these stories, the good guys always do what is good, and the bad guys always do what is bad. It's straightforward and simple. Those stories are fiction, but the stories in the Bible are real. And that's why the writer is so honest with us about the mistakes that they make. And when we see the good guys, we see that good guys make mistakes there, and that bad guys sometimes end up doing what's right. We might think to ourselves, why are so many of the characters in Genesis a mixture of strength and weaknesses? Why are so many of the stories in the Old Testament filled with people with so many flaws? Well, the reason is that these people are not meant to be held up as the heroes of the story. Now, we can learn a great deal from people like Abraham, but he's not the hero. The stories in the Bible point us to the real hero, which is God. The stories of the Bible point us to Elohim, to Yahweh, to Jehovah, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created the universe and invited us into their circle of fellowship. And throughout the book of Genesis, we see a loving, personal God reaching out and building relationships with the fallen and sinful humanity. God, who is good, reaches out to us who are weak and bad to save us. When we blow it, it's God who comes to the rescue. He is the hero. And this morning I want to focus in on one of those stories in Genesis chapter 28. It's the story of Jacob's encounter with God. Now before I read the story, let me give you a little bit of background to set up the context. See, Abraham's son Isaac had two sons of his own named Jacob and Esau. Now, Isaac favored his son Esau, and Isaac's wife Rebekah favored their son Jacob. When Isaac grew old, he wanted to give his family inheritance to his favorite son, his oldest, Esau. But Rebekah came up with a plan and convinced Jacob, the second born, to disguise himself as his brother to trick his father into giving him the family inheritance. After Esau found out what had happened, he plotted to kill his deceitful brother. Remember, they're just human, flawed and broken, like people today. Now, when Jacob found out that Esau was going to kill him, he fled. And this is where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10. It says, meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone for a pillow and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamt of a stairway that reached from earth to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down on it. The top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will cover the land from east to west and from north to south. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I'll be with you, and I'll protect you wherever you go. I'll someday bring you safely back to this land, and I'll be with you constantly until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. Then Jacob woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. He was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. We all face times in life when we are discouraged and despairing because our future may seem uncertain. Life may be falling apart for us as a result of some bad decisions that we've made or through no fault of our own, just because we live in a fallen world, things can go bad. Doubt, discouragement, and uncertainty can have a negative effect on us. We might be uncertain about our ability to fulfill an obligation or our job responsibilities. We might be uncertain about our material needs being met. We might be uncertain about our personal relationships or our physical health or some other area of life. And during those times of uncertainty and despair, we need a word of encouragement. We need to know that someone is behind us. We need to know that things will work out. The story of Jacob reminds us that a loving, personal God meets those needs. Jacob was facing an uncertain future. He was far from home, and he could not be sure that he'd ever make it back. He had no assurance of finding a wife or a job or a home to stay in or even having his basic needs met. He seemed all alone in a hostile world with no guarantee. No guarantee that he would not be hunted down and killed by his brother Esau. No guarantee that he would not be harmed by bandits or wild animals while he's out in the wilderness. Jacob was on the run, and he needed to rest for the night, and so he set up camp. Now, there was nothing special about the place where he stopped. It was not known as a place of divine intervention or divine visitations. There's nothing particularly holy about this place. It was just a place of dirt and stones. And so Jacob had no reason to expect anything unusual. He was living in a very uncertain times, and he needed a word of encouragement and assurance from the Lord. Now, he didn't deserve anything from God. And yet God in his mercy came to Jacob anyway. God came to him in a dream. Verse 12, it says, Jacob found a stone for a pillow and lay down to sleep. And as he slept, he dreamt of a stairway that reached from earth to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down on it. Now, back in Genesis chapter 11, we read about the Tower of Babel, a man-made structure designed to reach the heavens, a tower that men intended to climb. It was a human effort to raise themselves and assert themselves to the status of God. But God intervened, and their plan failed. He confused their language, and they scattered. Now, that was back in Genesis chapter 11. And here now in Genesis chapter 28, we have a stairway to heaven. But this structure is not man-made. It's God-made. It's not men climbing it. It's God's angels traveling back and forth from heaven to earth and back again. And it's not visible to the human eye, but God shows it to Jacob in a dream. And Jacob's dream has meaning. The stairway has some significance. You see, rather than humanity working their way up to God, Jacob's stairway reminds us that God reaches down to us. He speaks to us, it speaks to us of the providence of God. That even though the world is sinful and crazy, God is still on the throne and he's still at work. He always has his almighty sovereign hand on the situation. And it reminds us that God is the hero of everyone's story, even ours. Because he's the one who rescues us. He's the one who rescues us from our sin by sending his son to die on the cross. Back in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 51, Jesus said something very interesting to his disciples. He said, I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Like Jacob, we are only human, flawed people. And none of us can save ourselves. None of us can reach up to heaven. But God, who is mighty, reaches down to us, just like he reached down to Jacob. And soon after Jacob goes to sleep with his head on a rock, God comes to him in a dream. Here's Jacob on the run from his brother, away from the comforts and the security of home, in the middle of who knows where, probably facing the hardest night of his life. And then God shows up. Isn't that just like God? God sometimes shows up at unexpected times, in unexpected places. It may be in the shower, it may be on the drive to work, it may be when you're cooking dinner. And all of a sudden, you're aware of the presence of God. God reaches down to us. He saves us. He rescues us. He shows up in our time of need, and sometimes in unexpected places. You know that old worship chorus, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you're more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Remember that old chorus? Maybe some of you will. It's been sung in churches all over the world for decades. Did you know that it was actually received by a lady while she was cooking French fries at McDonald's? She was on a fast, and while she was working, she gave in to temptation. She stole a couple of fries. She felt guilty about it, and while she was repenting, the Holy Spirit gave her this song. Lord, you are more precious than silver. That's a true story. You see, God is not limited to showing up just in so-called spiritual places like the church sanctuary. He shows up in unexpected times and unexpected places. In Genesis 28, God visits and encourages Jacob in the darkness of night, in a faraway place. And in a dream where Jacob saw a stairway going from earth to heaven, with angels going between the two realms and the Lord at the top. And the main point of the dream is to show Jacob that the Lord and his angels were present and active even though he was unaware of it. As verse 16 says, then Jacob woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. And some of you may feel like Jacob must have felt. You may feel like your life is in a dark place, that you are far from God. And you may feel like God doesn't see you. But I want you to understand that God is present And he's active even when we're unaware of him. And God is always with us. Unexpectedly, God comes to Jacob and brings him a word. Just like the lady making French fries received a word from the Holy Spirit and received a song. And just like you and I can hear from God if we listen with our spiritual ears for the whispers of the Holy Spirit. In verses 16 or 13 through 16, we read what the Lord says to Jacob. He speaks a word to him. And from this word, we learn that there are four things that we can remember when we face uncertain times. I'd like to touch on them briefly this morning. Four takeaways from this story, four things that we need to remember. Starting with verse 13, it says, at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will cover the land from east to west and from north to south. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I will be with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. I will someday bring you safely back to this land. I will be with you constantly until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. Now, this is the same promise God gave to Abraham. And then he gave it to Isaac, and now he's giving it to Jacob, because God is faithful. And so, first of all, we see that in uncertain times, we need to remember God's promises. The first thing that God reminds Jacob of is the promises that he's made. He's basically saying, you know, I made this promise to your father Isaac and your grandfather Abraham, and now I'm going to keep this promise with you. When you consider that Jacob was leaving the promised land at that time on the run, and they didn't even have one child at that time, or even a wife, this is very reassuring for him. At this point in Jacob's journey, his future was uncertain, and so this promise was very encouraging. This was a great promise because it demonstrates that no matter how badly we may have acted in the past, and no matter how ashamed we may be of it, God is always able to begin with us where we are and use us as a channel for blessing. And so how about you? Are you ashamed of some things in your past? Are you devastated by some of the things you've said or you've done? If you are, God is able to start over with you right where you are. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing causes him to give up on you. Simply confess the sin that troubles you, allow God to forgive and cleanse it, and then go on, go forward in whatever direction that he sets before you. He's far more ready to give you a blessing than you are even to receive it. And so in uncertain times, remember God's promises. And this principle is not only true for Jacob, but also for us. And when you feel like you're at the end of yourself, and when you feel like you don't have any strength left, remember the promise in Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They'll fly high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. And Isaiah 41, 10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Victorious right hand. When you're facing hard or uncertain times, you can know that God's promises are for you, and you can put your trust in the God of Abraham. Secondly, in uncertain times, remember God's presence. God said to Jacob, I will be with you. And we need to know that God is with us if we want to face the future with confidence. Jacob needed to know this also, and in verse 15, God said this very clearly, I am with you. And Jacob may have felt all alone, but he never was alone. And neither are we, because God is with us. And God's presence has been a source of encouragement in uncertain times for all of God's people all the time. For example, King David said in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And Jesus encouraged his disciples in Matthew 28, telling them, surely I am with you always. And Hebrews 13:5 tells us, God will never leave us nor forsake us. God's word to us is the same as his word to Jacob. He's saying to us, I am with you. Now, this doesn't mean that we'll escape the storms of life, but the knowledge of his presence in those storms can give us great peace and confidence as we face the future. And third, in uncertain times, remember God's protection. God said to Jacob, I will protect you wherever you go. That didn't mean that something hurtful could never happen to Jacob, but it did mean to him, and it also means to us, that God will protect us so that his plan, which is good, will come to completion. His plan for us will come to completion. Jacob didn't have to worry because God would protect him and he would take him on that journey. In the same way, we don't need to fear the enemy of our souls because God has promised to watch over us. Now, to understand this principle, we have to recognize that God protects us from harm, but not necessarily from hurt. Now, that might sound like a contradiction, but it's not. And so let me explain what I mean. What I mean is that we may be hurt by others. We may be hurt by life. We may be hurt by sickness or even death, but God protects us from being harmed. It's like when we get an immunization shot. The shot hurts, but it doesn't harm us. In the same way, the trials of life are only temporary, but the promises of God are eternal, and God's purposes for you are certain. His sovereign hand will always be on our souls, and we can have faith that he will fulfill his purpose for us and bring us safely home. And so in uncertain times, remember God's protection. And the fourth, in uncertain times, remember God's provision. God told Jacob, I will someday bring you safely back to this land. I'll be with you constantly until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. God has promised to provide for the needs of his people. Jesus reminds us that the Father knows what we need and the things that we have for this life. And that since he provided it for the birds, we can be certain that he'll provide them also for us. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of this great promise, that God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. We need to remember that promise, the promise of God's provision, even though we live in Canada where we have plenty, because there can be times in our lives that we are uncertain about how our needs are going to be met. It can cause a lot of unnecessary anxiety in our lives. It doesn't have to remember that God has promised to provide for us. And so there are these four things that we need to remember in uncertain times, four takeaways from this story: God's promises, God's presence, God's protection, and God's provision. We all face times in life when we are discouraged and despairing because our future seems uncertain, but we can have courage because God is with us. And many of us, like Jacob, may face uncertain times and need a word of encouragement and assurance from the Lord. And during times like that, we can say, as Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not even aware of it. In the same way, we can all know that when we go through uncertain times, a personal, loving God is there. We can know that God is always with us, a God who rescues, a God who saves us, a God who reaches down to us, and a God who is the hero of our own personal story. I invite the worship team to come as we pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for your heroic acts. Lord, you could have looked down on us and just wrote us all off. But out of your righteous compassion, Lord, you rescued us. You came down from heaven. You reached down to us with your mighty hand. You sent your Son to die on the cross for us. You sent your Holy Spirit to come to live and empower us from the inside and to give us new life. Father, we thank you that you have made those heroic acts in our lives and that you continue to do so. We can trust in you, Lord God. You are there for us, and we just say thank you. And we want to walk into tomorrow and every day with confidence, knowing that you are with us, that you go with us, you go ahead of us, and that you, Lord God, give us strength. And Lord, we thank you that you are our hero in our lives, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.